come on forward. Ms. McGee and Fitzgerald. Good to see you both. You may begin when you're ready, counsel. You have 15 minutes. Do you wish to reserve any?
I would reserve 5 minutes, please.
Okay.
For rebuttal.
Duly noted. You can begin.
May it please the court, good morning.
Good morning.
Again, my name is Corrine McGee. I'm counsel for Kathy Steiger. The case before you today, I am sure you're familiar with the facts with respect to Ms. Steiger's two convictions down in Mecklenburg County for driving under the influence second offense and driving under the influence third offense, arising out of the continuing set of facts on the evening in question. The sole issue before the court today is the construction of Virginia Code 18270 C1 and E, which of course would be considered, since it is a penal statute, most favorable to the accused.
Counsel, I hate to interrupt you, but hasn't the Supreme Court answered this question in Williams when it's discussed the construction of the statute and what was meant by offenses?
Your Honor, I don't think this question is at all answered by Williams. The reason being, in Williams, although the offense was the second offense was committed after the offense that was convicted as the third offense, it actually went to trial first. They null prossed what eventually became the third offense, until there was a conviction on the second in time offense. And then they rebrought the indictment so that there were, in fact, two prior convictions before they went to trial on the DUI third case in Williams.
Except for, didn't the Supreme Court indicate that the General Assembly could contemplate whether they were talking about offenses versus convictions? And this particular statute chose to use the word offense because they didn't want recidivists who might then say 10 times or 15 times not be subject to the felony. How would you answer or posture your argument in relation to that part of what the Supreme Court said?
Your Honor, I just simply don't interpret that language in Williams that way. In Williams, it was talking about even though the second DUI offense had not resulted in a conviction before the third offense was committed, is what the court said in Williams. And I submit that the holding in that still stated that it was going to be upheld because there, in fact, had been two convictions before Williams went to trial on the third offense. And I submit that if you look at the actual language of subsection E, which defined number of offenses, it specifically says an adult conviction under, and then sub 2, the provisions of 18.2.266, or obviously substantially similar ordinances or statutes of other states. I would submit if the General Assembly didn't mean conviction, they would not have put the word conviction in subsection E in defining offenses. So I submit because there was not, in fact, two convictions before they went to trial on the third, that the court, in fact, erred in not granting the motion to strike.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Fitzgerald, you have 15 minutes.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Elizabeth Fitzgerald on behalf of the Commonwealth. This case is controlled by the Virginia Supreme Court's case in Williams. In Williams, the court interpreted the same code section and found that 18.2270 speaks in terms of offenses rather than convictions. It specifically looked at that word offensive, looked at the word committed, and found the General Assembly had, in fact, intended three offenses rather than three convictions before you get to a DUI third. The court noted in that case that Virginia has multiple recidivist statutes, and there are statutes where the General Assembly has seen fit to require convictions, and the absence of that language in this statute was significant. Furthermore, the Williams case came out 10 years ago. More, the General Assembly since then has not amended that statute, and its silence is deemed acquiescence and approval of the Supreme Court's interpretation there. Furthermore, the defendant's interpretation of this statute, that somehow an offense, only an offense is needed before arresting the defendant, but it has to mature to a conviction before trial, leads to an absurd result. And that's
that. Nothing arched, but I think her position is essentially because you have a tension in the statute, so to speak, where you've got one part of it that talks about the fact that the offense is, in fact, convictions. So she's essentially arguing, I think, that they have to be strictly construed against the Commonwealth when you've got that ambiguity that it defers to them. I mean, I think that's what she's indicating, regardless of that, excuse me, the Supreme Court may have interpreted Williams. Do you want to address that part of her argument?
Of course, Your Honor. Subsection E talks about when other statutory violations can be deemed a violation of 18.2.266. It's not what we have in this case. We have multiple DUI convictions. And so I think that perhaps we'd be in a slightly different procedural posture if we were trying to prove, for example, that a Maryland DUI was substantially similar. And in that case, perhaps the Commonwealth would need to prove that conviction under the statute. However, what we have here, we're not proceeding under that portion of the statute. We're proceeding under the regular portion. We're looking at actual violations of 18.2.266. And furthermore, I think it's significant that the Supreme Court's construction of this exact same statute is on point, and respectfully, I believe this court is bound by the Supreme Court's interpretation in that regard. That particular argument that counsel has raised was, of course, not addressed in the Williams case. However, the Supreme Court's logic, I believe, still controls on this issue. Again, if convictions were required, the Commonwealth would have to prove different elements to arrest someone rather than convict them. If an offense is good enough to arrest someone, an offense is good enough to convict them. And the Commonwealth is certainly not limited in its proofs. It can prove its case by any competent material evidence. Does that answer the court's question? Thank you. I'd be happy to answer further questions from the court. Otherwise, I would ask you to affirm.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. McGee.
My only comment.
You have 11 minutes.
My only comment, Your Honor, is that if you look at the Williams case, in no time did the Supreme Court discuss the provisions of subsection E. It was simply talking about offenses, and it was clearly uncontested that the earlier second in time DUI second had already resulted in a conviction. So they weren't concerned with subsection E in that case.
Thank you, counsel. As consistent with our court tradition, we'll now come down and greet counsel and then proceed to the rest of the docket.
Morning, Roger. Nice to see you.
I think it's the briefest brief.
Good to see you.